Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, May 22nd, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. Not like the time when there was this girl I had the hugest crush on. I was in love with her. I asked her to go to homecoming. She was already going with another guy. And then I said, well, can I have you for prom then? Ugh, that was so horrible. And I didn't go to prom with her. I went with someone else. And she's now married and has a kid and a dog and a house. And she deleted me from her Facebook friends. Why she did that, I don't know. Maybe, I don't think I did anything wrong. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything creepy or wrong. Maybe she just didn't like one of my movie reviews or whatever. So that's something that that's something I wish I could take back. Like me asking that girl out twice. It should have been like, hey, I like you. Are you into me? Oh no, I just want to be friends. And I should have just left it alone. But with age comes wisdom. Right, you guys? All right. So you can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. Do that if you'd like. There's been about 8 or 9 of you that have sent me emails. They've been very heartwarming, and I appreciate it. It lets me know that you guys are listening. And once again, that I'm not throwing this thing out here into an abyss. There's hundreds of you that listen. I know that much. What else? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lambert. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I hope that it's a very faint sound when you're listening to this in your car or in your earphones. Somebody's moving. Somebody's backing a car, a truck up or something. You know, the boop. And then somebody's trying to cut grass or something. Hold on a second. Hold on, you guys. Apparently somebody's... I don't know what that is. It doesn't sound... It sounds like they're trimming something or cutting. They're not vacuuming. I don't know what that is. Sundays are supposed to be a day of rest, you guys. So I don't know what these people are doing, but I hope it's not too bad. If I listen to this and it's really shitty, maybe I won't upload it. I don't know. But we're gonna power through this, you guys. I won't hold you long. The stuff like that makes me angry. You know, this is like, I don't know. Where was I? So I'm at home. It's Sunday, and I actually just stepped out of my comfort zone today because I made myself some garlic shrimp, and it was my first time making shrimp, cooking shrimp, or making a shrimp dish, rather, at home, and it tasted pretty good. And it was actually good. I put it on Instagram and Facebook, and getting some likes, so that makes my self-esteem. That makes me feel pretty good about myself and where I'm at in my station of life, that as an adult male, I can go to a grocery store and buy some groceries and cook them. So it was my first. I'm not the hugest seafood fan, and I know that it's blasphemy for me because I'm from Maryland, and you know, it just is what it is. I was watching YouTube, and I asked this question on on Twitter yesterday. Are you washed if you're at home on a Saturday night and you're watching like you're watching YouTube videos of like video game trailers and like movie trailers and then like cooking recipes? Are you washed if you're having fun doing that? Is that an example of being washed? I don't know. It's just like I didn't feel like going out. I had a really busy week, and I feel like if I have a busy week during the week, the weekends are usually the times where I just chill. So if I don't have a show or something, I'm just kind of kicking it or whatever. So let me know what you think. Are you washed if you're in your 30s and you're at home on the weekend and you're just watching TV and not even really watching TV, you're just watching YouTube? I did watch the basketball game last night, Cleveland and Toronto, and that was pretty depressing because Cleveland lost. I really feel like they should have just won. I think the NBA's fixed. To a certain degree, I think it's fixed because they have a lot of these games that they have to play. Partly I say it's fixed because I'm mad that the team that I wanted to win lost. But then I think it's probably my fault that they lost, because most of the games that they win, I fall asleep during the games. And by the time I wake up, the game's over and I'm just like, oh, they won. Good job. So I felt like because I watched the whole game that they lost, then first part, the blame is on me. Second part is Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving could not make a shot to save their life last night. The game is on. I got NBA TV on, and it just, even when it was close, it really wasn't close. Even when the score was close, it wasn't close at all. It was just a bad game to watch. They kept shooting threes. I don't like them shooting threes, even when they make them, for some reason. It's just, I don't like it. I mean, they got big guys that can penetrate to the hole. You have LeBron James, and you don't, and even he had like a quiet 24, actually. LeBron James is always going to do what he has to do, man. But just these other, the role players, they have to step up. It was basically, I think somebody said this last night, it basically looked like him last year when him and LeBron in the finals last year when everybody was hurt. They just could not make a shot. Like, they're just standing around. Kevin Love doesn't want to bang in the paint. He's a power. He's almost 7 feet, and he doesn't want to bang with those guys and get rebounds. He used to get rebounds all the time. And, you know, he just wants to be a set shooter. Like, dude, it's cool to have that in your arsenal, but you can rebound. Biombo had 26 rebounds and 4 blocks. And then he scored some garbage points in the fourth quarter that just took it to the next level. It's just annoying, man. I want them to sweep. I want it to be fo-fo-fo. Just beat everybody. I was listening to, while I was cooking, while I was making my masterful, delicious meal, I had on Jalen and Jacoby, and I was listening to that. And Jacoby asked Jalen, you know, is it true that, you know, a team should lose in the playoffs or something just so they could kind of get their bearings right or just to refocus? And Jalen Rose was like, no, I mean, they've lost. It's not like they're 90-0. They've played games during the season where they've lost. You know, they lost a bunch of lost some games, man. So it's like, win if you can. And, you know, obviously the home team, like the players are going to shoot better. The supporting players are always going to do better at home, and I think DeRozan had like 30 plus. Kyle Lowry was efficient, so I just hope, man, they finish these guys off and don't have to go any further, any deep into the fucking series than they need to, you know. So big game tonight. I was telling you guys last week, I don't know, like, I like Kevin Durant, I like Westbrook, I like Curry. Like, whoever's going to be the best matchup for the Cavs, that's who I want them to play. I just want the Cavs to beat whoever they play. So I guess it doesn't matter. I guess to a certain degree, I can enjoy that game to a certain degree. But, you know, we'll see. So yeah, that's kind of what's going on right now. Like, I went to the gym and I just had that feeling over me that I was going to make that dish. I was like, oh man, that looks good. I should do it. So I'm expanding my arsenal as a chef. So far, this year, 5 months in, I've made the big dishes that I've made. Lasagna. I started off the year making lasagna. I got to try to do that. Maybe I'll do that in the fall when it's when it gets cooler again. Already great at making spaghetti. I'm already fucking amazing at that. Made some good meatballs, by the way, the last time I made spaghetti. Amazing at spaghetti. Mate's been making more salmon, been adding more fish to the diet. Good at that. But I think I still want to look at some more recipes to see how the pros do it. But I'm good at salmon. I got to go back to meatloaf again just to try it again. The last time I did it, I was pretty successful. Pretty good at making chicken wings, fried chicken and stuff. I've done it a couple of times. Yeah, so the next thing is go get a meatloaf dish that I'm proud of. Yeah, so I've been pretty good with cooking at home. There's some things that I want to talk. So I had a really busy week. I had some auditions. I actually booked one. I had an audition on Monday, and I shot it on Wednesday. So I went in and did like a little like web commercial audition, and you had to. I don't know if they're gonna. The casting director. Said that if they use it, they'll let us know. Either way, they'll give us like the clip or whatever. So you had to do this. You had to read. So the audition was, you had to read a Kanye speech, like an excerpt from his MTV Movie Award speech. When he won the Vanguard Award, and he had to say, bro, you know, and he says he's going to run for president. So you do an excerpt of that, and then you had to read Amy Schumer, some of her one-liners. And then, so I did that. I read with this old guy. White people can coon, right? When they act black, or white people cooning? So this older guy was like standing next to me, and he was reading his lines. And I just thought that was kind of funny. So I got the part, and that was really cool. And Wednesday we shot it, and we were just hanging out. It's just me, just, you know, in the waiting room of this office. There's this casting officer with video. A production company. We're in a production company office in Midtown, and just sitting there, and just a bunch of people, just so many beautiful women of every ethnicity. Just, oh my God, just, oh, show business, man. They were so beautiful. So that was a half day, and then I shot it, nailed my part, nailed it. So they gave us an extended version of the speech, like of the audition piece. And I read the Kanye thing, nailed it in one take, and they did one for safety. So that was cool. So it's like a fans, it's like if you were to just come out of a show, like a Kanye or Amy Schumer show, and you would, as a fan, recite their speech, or you would. So it's like a fan appreciation type thing. So if it airs and I get a link or something, I'll retweet it or post it. So that was pretty neat to book something. And then I had another audition. I think it was, God, was that Wednesday? So Tuesday I had an audition for a big, like, I think it would probably be the biggest thing that I've auditioned for since I've been auditioning in the last like 6 or 7 months. And it was really big, and it was actually one of the best auditions I've had in a long time. I went in there, and the casting director was really sweet, and I went in and she's like, oh, you can, I was supposed to read for an Uber driver. Like, I had one line. I just say, where are you going? And the other one of the characters says something to me, and I just said, all right, And that's the end of the scene. It's just one line, big, a big project for a television show on a major cable network. And it went well. And she said, and she was just really warm. This was one of the warmest rooms that I've ever auditioned in, I would say. And I've even auditioned for people that I know, like people that I know that I'm cool with. And this was just like really probably the warmest one I've ever been in, and ever, maybe. But this is just like a casting director that knows what the fuck she's doing. And so I made her laugh, and we just said, okay, we'll do like a little rehearsal. And, you know, we did it, and she laughed, and she's like, oh, I could. She's like, she messed up because she had her elbow in the way of the shot or whatever. And she was really cool about that and just really fun and asked me a little bit about myself. And then I think like right as I walked in, she said, oh, you should read for the roommate too. We'll have him read for the roommate. And I was like, cool. So gives them more options. I mean, you know, maybe they could use me for at least one of the parts. And it's just like a small part. And this is where I need to like step my game up. Like I need to step my pantomime game up. You know, pantomime is like when you pretend you have objects that aren't there and you use them. My pantomime game, I need to step that up, or just like really just be more, take more of a breath and be like, oh yeah, okay, I need to, this is my situation, this is where I'm at, and this is what I got to do. And it was just all right. And but she, you know, it seemed to go fine. And then she what was really cool, she said, hey, that was great. You know, thanks. You know, if it's not this, it'll be something else. And that's all you have, you know. Sometimes you think you bomb an audition, you get the part. Like when I did the little promo thing that I auditioned for that I actually booked and shot, I was like, oh, I flubbed the line. Not going to get that. That's another wasted afternoon and paying for parking. And it was cool. Like, I actually got the part. There was one, I don't know if I told you guys about, where I think I may have, like, I went into one that was that's a huge casting director. Probably it's right up there with this audition that I had last week, where it was just like, I go in a room, I got there early, and they're like, oh, you want to go in? And I thought, oh, I think, okay, I'm going to be standing up. They're like, sit down right there and just say your line. And I said it like one time. I think I just did it once. And you're like, okay, thanks. And then like weeks later, they were like, oh, they want to know what your availability is, blah, blah, blah. So I was still in the running, and I thought I just fucking bombed. I didn't get the part anyway, but it was just like, all right, whatever. So going to these auditions, like I usually just drive into the city. Because I live in Jersey, or I work in Westchester, so I'm either coming from home or coming from work. And I've told you guys about this parking app. You remember on the Jenna Corrado episode, I was telling her about ParkWiz, and she was like, oh, whatever. And then like a couple days later, I get a text from her. She's like, oh my God, ParkWiz is amazing. So it helps you like save on parking. Sometimes parking might be 40, 50 bucks. And then you end up only paying 20. Sometimes you might pay $8, $9. Sometimes you could even get in for free. And it's like if they have a coupon code. So it's legit. And I've been using it for almost a year now. A little under a year. Creeping up on a year of using this app, which is really terrific. I've run into a couple of things like recently where the parking garage attendant will like get mad because I'm saving on parking. And it's like they get mad because they think like it's coming out of their paycheck. And it's just weird. Like so when I went on Tuesday for the audition that I went on, I said, okay, this is 5 minutes away from the building that I'm going to, $19 for an hour or whatever. And, like, all right. And then so the guy said, oh, I said, okay. So I drive it to the lot, and I said, okay, this is the right place. This is 575, whatever garage. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I have a parking pass. And they were like, oh, well, it's $20. So let me look at it. And I was like, oh, it's $20. I was like, oh, no, this is $19. He's like, well, we pay. I was like, look, man, I'm not going to argue with you about it. I have a somewhere to be. I have an appointment. So we'll deal with it when I come back. And when I came back, like the guy, the other, I guess the dude's manager was trying to give me shit for it. And I'm like, look, man, I said, you know, okay, I wasn't gone an hour. I was gone probably like a half an hour, less than 45 minutes, half an hour. That rate is what, $8, $10? So what are you going to, would you rather make $9 more than you would normally make for somebody parking here? Or would you rather just me pay the 10 bucks because I stayed only a half hour? What would you rather have me do? And he's like, okay, all right, 19. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. Like, what are you doing? And it's always, no, I'm not going to say that what I want to say, but I'm not going to say what I want to say. I just leave it like that. Like, why are you being a jerk? It's not coming out of your check. It's like when you use a coupon at a store and the cashier gets mad, like gets pissed. You know, I've been to places like one of my favorite clothing stores, DXL, because I'm a fatty. I like going, but I'm working on losing it, and I'm doing well. They're so sweet. They're like, oh, you can use, oh, this expired, but you can use this. And you still, like, and they hook you up because they know I'm going to come back. But, I mean, this is the agreement that your company made with this parking app. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm trying to save a little bit of money, the little money that I have to come park at your place. Don't be a dick, you know? Don't be a fucking assholes, man. It's so annoying. Money's not coming out. Your lot is full of people that pay regular price or whatever the going rate is. That's what they pay. And you got people that stay there monthly. Just cut me some slack. I'm only going to be here for half an hour. Please, dude, come on. It's so annoying. Ugh, it really chaps my ass, as one of my buddies from grad school used to say. So that was my week of auditioning, and that was pretty neat. It's always good to, like, work on your craft. I know now that the more that I've been getting back into the swing of things, I just have to step up my pantomime game and just really fucking relax. I mean, I think that's one of the big things too, is just relax and not put too much on any of these things. But sometimes these things can be so big. You think, like, you start fast forwarding to, like, oh, I'm gonna get a credit. If I get this, I'll get a credit and I can get into all these clubs and I can do this. I start thinking about the sneakers I want to buy, the bills that I want to pay, the plays that I want to see, the girl I want to talk to, you know, so all of that stuff, man, you just can't think about that shit, man. Just gotta do it. I'm just saying that to myself. But yeah, if you got something big coming up in your life, or like a big thing that could change, like a job interview or some type of big meeting, just be in the moment of what you're doing. And I had to realize that when I was shooting the thing. When I was shooting the thing that I did last week, just like, I kind of felt that way. Then I was like, was I kind of being a dick? I was just, it's every time when you shoot something, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Like I mean, it was a fucking nightmare trying to get traffic in New York City is ridiculous, and it makes you hate people. It makes you hate the decisions that you made in your life to get you to the point where you're in. So I had another experience where I reserved a parking spot at this garage that was right near the place where I was filming the thing. I had to be there at 10, and it was traffic was bad, and it was getting to be 10. It was like 9:45, and I'm like, oh shit. And the garage that I needed to go to was blocked off. And then I had to go circle around and try to get it, find another garage. And there's garages everywhere, so I was going to be all right. In hindsight, I was waiting for a long-ass time at the shoot anyway. So I could have just... But I didn't know that. I like to be on time, and I get really fucking anxious when I'm not on time. And I get in a lane, and it's a turn lane to go to the Lincoln Tunnel, like to go back to Jersey. And I was like, no. And I saw I had an opening, and I knocked over a cone to get into the other lane in a turn. And I found a lot, and I got a parking spot, and it was all good. But that was just like an experience that was just like, I was really annoyed. But yeah, it was all good. So that was fun. It was really good to do that, and it was good times. And last Monday, I went to go see the Foreign Exchange, one of my all-time favorite bands in the world. They played at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn. I got shout out, and as I was walking in, I saw the homie Big Doe, friend of the podcast. He came through. So that was cool. I got to see him, chopped it up with him a little bit, and saw a couple people. Well, I just saw Dylan Stevenson, comic, one of the kings of Black Twitter. OK Player just did a profile on him. I don't have to get him in on a show. We talked some music. Met a couple of his friends. We were talking before the show, having a good time. And the nerd in me was Zoe, who is the musical director, and he's a keyboardist. He's a musician, really talented dude from Detroit. He's got a new album that just dropped on Friday called Skybreak. And this was last week was the week that his album dropped. And the nerd in me was just like, hopefully they're going to have some physical copies of his album after the show at the merch table. So I was like excited about that. And fortunately they did. And I got a copy. Actually, after the show, I got backstage, and I didn't get back. Like, I went backstage because I'm cool with Fonte and Big Doe and everybody. And so that was cool. And I took a shot of took a pic with me and Zoe. And it was cool. It was just, oh my God, like their catalog is so extensive. And like, I feel like I knew pretty much all the songs. Really, really amazing show. They did about 2 hours, and it was just like, it was amazing. Probably one of the best shows that I ever went to. Fonte as the band leader, like vocally, I feel like he's grown a lot, like leaps and bounds. Like, he was always good, always like a really good performer and a good singer. And when they made the transition from Little Brother to Foreign Exchange, at least the full transition from like left back to like leave it all behind Fonte, like vocally, just outstanding. Just amazing. And I guess you could definitely tell on Tales from the Land of Milk and Honey, the latest album, that some of the things that he's doing is vocally is great, but just a great sound. And he can rival just about anybody now. Like, I feel like he's on that level where he's just like, I told him, I was like, dude, you were on another level tonight, man. And he was just like, oh, he brushed it off. But he was amazing. I took a couple clips and posted them on Instagram, like little 30-second clips or whatnot. But it was just a fun, awesome night. It was just on a weeknight, on a Monday, that was just like, I needed that. Like, that really carried me through the rest of my week. Like, my week was straight after that. Like, and that's how powerful music is, man. I love going to see live shows. And one of my favorite artists, Fonte, did his thing. And it was great to see him and just get to dap him up after the show. So if they're coming to your town or they're near you, you should definitely go see them. You will not be disappointed at all. They will give you every bit of themselves on that stage, man. They put it all out there. They go in. It's just a hell of a fucking show. A lot of dudes there too. Like a lot of nerds, like dudes like me, a lot of, you know, people in their 30s and young people, hot women there too. Like I didn't notice this one brown chocolate woman was just like, towards the end of the show, I turned and looked and I was like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. Halfway, maybe like a third of the way through the show, this tall, oafish dude gets in front of me with his girlfriend and he ducks in front of me. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? I didn't want to start a fight or anything. Part of me felt like I should have said something. The other part was like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the show. I can still see. But that was some fuck shit. As the homie Tim Miller would say, get Tim Miller's album, Rule of Thirds, on iTunes or wherever you buy your digital music. He's a great comedy album. Really good. Really, really pissed me off, man. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to try to fight. It's not in my nature to fight somebody. Like, I'll talk about wanting to rip his head off and then showing it to his girlfriend. But I wouldn't actually do it. But yeah, it was a good show. It was so much fun, and I got Zoe's album, Skybreak, really, really dope. It's got Fontaze all over it. Got a record with Eric Roberson called A Season, which is terrific. And Dornick is on there. The lead single is a song called Lifelines. And Dornick, who I told you guys about towards the end of last year, who I found out about on NPR, he's got a record on there called Lifelines, and it's really fucking dope. So I like to kind of be say I called it. That guy's good, and I hope Dornick comes around. If he comes around in New York City, I definitely want to see how he is live. So yeah, Skybreak is terrific. What else am I listening to? Catronata. I was telling you about him last week, the Canadian producer, beatmaker guy. His album 99.9%, terrific. Fonte's on there. He's got a record called One Too Many, which is phenomenal. And it was funny to me how, like, you expect going to a concert like that, a foreign exchange, you're going to get everybody that loves their music. And it was funny, what was interesting to me is how, you know, Fonte asked, you know, who's, by a round of applause, whose first foreign exchange show is it? And it was like most of the crowd, like a lot of the crowd was applauding. And so that was pretty dope. But I was talking to Dylan's friends and like, we were just like, yeah, you know, we're talking about music. And the song's like, yeah, Fonte did that Catronata record, One Too Many. Like, oh, really? You would think more people would know that, but I'm sure like I wasn't the only motherfucker that knew. But I guess that's where my nerdiness definitely lies in music to a certain degree. Now, just because I said that doesn't mean that I know everything. I don't know shit. Like, I know a little bit. You know, when you find out, what is it that I always say? You know, you think you know something, you really don't know shit. I forget how it works, but I will say, like, when one of your favorite artists is doing something and you follow them on Twitter, you're going to see what they do and what they post, like the new music that they do. But I think that song, One Too Many, is just fucking, oh, it's fucking great. And it's, and I think I was saying this last week, a lot of these guys are doing Fonte now, man. And when you forget, like, because he's been singing for 10 plus years, exclusively for 10 plus years, and it's not like he hasn't rapped, but he has, but his career has mostly been focused on singing. And then when he raps, it's just so effortless. And it's just like, now I'm going to, like, he has a rap on Lifelines that he just kind of, it's not even, I don't know, it's not even that long. It's just like, oh shit. Oh, but then oh my God, that guy's, he's the GOAT. He's one of the GOATs, man. That's why he's in my top five guys. I mean, I'm not going to run away from that. He's one of my favorites. It's great. He's great. Kate Renata, really good. Craig David has a song on there, and like I was like, is Craig David back? Like this month, because I haven't heard from him in a long time. And the homie Morgan Campbell, who, where does Morgan write for now? I figure out where he. Let me see. Let me go back and find this. Where does Morgan write for? He's for the Toronto Star. He does sports business for the Toronto Star. So he's a really cool dude, and he's a big like R&B dude too. Like I know he's really into the R&B shit like I am. And he was like, "Oh, he never left, bro." He's like, he never left, bruv. You know, tweeting at me in the English, in the London bro vernacular-ishy kind of-y stuff. So, but he's got a good record on there. But it's really just about buying a chick stuff. But it's a good, let me see. Got it. I think the song is called Got It Good. I got it good. Oh, that was bad. That was so bad, Chris. You guys probably can't hear all of that. He's got the hook. It's a long ass intro. Well, it's not really that long. It's long when you're trying to build up to it. It's like 20 seconds. I got it good. You're the best I ever had. So he's basically, oh, you got to hear the little break. I got it good. You're worth it. You deserve it, girl. Don't worry about the back. Go and throw it in the back, cause I got it good. Don't worry about the tag. Or something, because I got it in the bag or something. I got it good. So he's basically caking on these bitches out. So he's caking on these out. He is buying people stuff. He's buying these women's affections. Now, the song sounds good, but I don't know how I feel about that, Craig. I mean, these $200 Twitter dates. I mean, come on, Craig. You're a little retro in your thinking, bro. But no, that's a good sounding record. That's like the kind of stuff if I was an R&B singer of that era, of his era, I would be singing about that shit too. Like I'm gonna take you to Cold Stone, I got it good, to the Cheesecake Factory, baby. You know, like I'm gonna take you to the, you know, I would sing that shit, you know. I mean, that's what they like, you know. I mean, girls, they don't like just the Cheesecake Factory, but I'm saying they would, you know, they would want to be treated nice. What do women like? They like Coach. They like the Coach bags, Louboutin, the red bottom shoes, whatever Cookie wears on Empire. That's what women like. It's my limited knowledge of what women like, clothing and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, like that. So that, like, he's got some really good sounding stuff, and it's Bad Bad Not Good is on there, and Sid from the Internet is on there. Some of these other people, I don't know who they are. Little Dragon's got a record on there. So Little Dragon's dope. I saw them last year at Brooklyn Bowl. Hoping to go see some shows there soon. I got to get tickets to see Odyssey. What else? Anna Wise, she's got an EP out called The Feminine Part 1. That sounds good. I mean, I've been a fan of hers since I found out about her on Sunny Moon, and then found out about Sunny Moon around the time Good Kid, Mad City came out for Kendrick Lamar. I'm trying to think if she did some stuff on the previous mixtapes that Kendrick had. I'm not 100% sure if she did. But I would say, you know, I would like to say that I've been down with her for a minute. I actually met her. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that I briefly met her after a show. I just said, you're really good. You're really talented. And she's like, okay, weirdo. So yeah, that was cool. So we did Foreign Exchange, we talked about some music. Bad Boy Reunion Tour. I've been seeing people post stuff about the Bad Boy Reunion Tour on Instagram and like Twitter and Facebook and all that shit. And so there is a clip of Mary J. Blige performance. They were at the Barclays Center, I want to say like Friday night or whatever. And she was dancing, doing her thing. It's Mary. Like, she's always been known to not be the greatest dancer, but she could sing and you could feel the emotion in what she's doing. So always been a fan. I would say My Life would probably be my joint that I like the most from her. And then the joint Mary that she had. Beautiful Ones. Isn't Beautiful Ones on You? Whatever. So she was dancing. It was kind of goofy. And I just like, it was like a Vine. And I just took the Vine link. And I just said, I tweeted, when Talenti is on sale at the, when Talenti's on sale and you're when Talenti's on sale at the grocery store and you're just dancing or whatever. And then some dude was like, nah, bro, we not gonna make fun of Mary B. Nah, we not gonna make, like, who the fuck is he telling, like, who you should make fun of? People get dragged for less than that. And it was just like it wasn't really making fun of her. It's just like, she's dancing, she's excited, and you could have that excitement when expensive ass Talenti is on sale at the fucking grocery store. Let my tweet live, bro. But then at the same time, he retweeted it. He quoted the tweet over the video instead of just saying, like, oh, nah, man, we're not going to make fun of Mary. And just left it at that and just said, like, you know, all right, but you retweeted it. That's like the people, the people that I do like, when they retweet stuff, they retweet something funny. Or like, they be like, nah, man, I don't like, y'all ain't right, man. Y'all ain't right. But they retweet the shit anyway. The stupid video of somebody getting punched or a cat jumping over a fucking thing. You know, come on. It's all in fun. Like, you're going to regulate what's funny and what's not. And the tweet wasn't, some people retweeted and favored it, whatever. You know, it's cool. You want to make people laugh. We'll have a good time, you guys. It's not that serious. It really isn't. I did not go to the movies this week. I thought I was going to go to the movies, but I ended up having an audition. So, I mean, I did not go. And then one time I just went to the gym. I was like, I should just go to the gym. I just went to Redbox and I rented 50 Shades of Black, which was stupid in a goofy, funny way. There was some part. It made fun of 50 Shades of Grey, which was also a stupid movie. And, you know, it was some funny parts. The lead girl, what is her name? Kitty something. She's cutie. What is it? 50 Shades. 50 Shades of Black. Because this was a girl, I think, that was supposed to be on A Living Color, I think. When they did the reboot. Callie Hawk. Callie Hawk is her name. It's gorgeous. Very lovely, lovely woman. It's good and it's fun. And it's fun to see black women in a comedy role like that, that can be goofy and make fun of themselves. It's a good look. It's not the, you know, it's not the best movie in the world. A lot of it's kind of nasty and it's real. But that's that humor, man. It's a parody movie. It was all right. It was worth the $1.25. And then I watched The Witch, and I was kind of half watching it. And it was a weird ass movie. It looked good. It looks great on Blu-ray. It was all right. Some people on Facebook, a couple people were like, let's see. I'm going to go to my page here to where I posted that I have seen the movie. Let's see. The homie CJ Kirkwood, a comic out of DC, he says, I've never appreciated and hated a movie at the same time before. And then just a friend was like, that movie was goddamn weird. One of my friends from undergrad, she writes, I want to watch it, but the trailer freaked me out, and I love horror movies. So there were mixed reviews. But it's a good-looking movie. I remember the homie JL Covan was telling me, like, you know, it's solid. You know, you'll be entertained, and it has, like, a bit of a twist to the ending. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, the stakes are definitely super low on when you do something like that. So that was all right. I'm trying to think. Like, there's this, and you can catch me on JL Covan's podcast, Righteous Prick. I'm on the, I guess at the time, I'm on one of the latest episodes of the Righteous Prick podcast. We did a summer movie preview last week, and you can check that out. We talked about movies that we were looking forward to. There are not too many that I'm looking forward to. I would say now that I just realized I'm excited about this movie, this Mike Birbiglia movie, Don't Think Twice. Let me make sure that that's the right name. And I've watched the trailer like two or three times, like a fucking nerd. Don't Think Twice, written and directed by Mike Birbiglia. Turmoil strikes a New York improv troupe with Keegan-Michael Key, Gillian Jacobs, and Mike Birbiglia when one member leaves to star in a television show. So it's this improv troupe in New York, and one of them gets called up to be on a SNL-type show. And then shit happens, basically. And it's got Keegan-Michael Key, Gillian Jacobs, Mike Birbiglia, Kate Micucci, Chris Gethard. And it looks like a really good cast. And I like Mike Birbiglia's stuff. I really like Sleepwalk With Me. I enjoyed that a lot. And so I'm excited about that. So that comes out July 22nd. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm trying to think of what else I was really, really into. Oh, I'm kind of mad at some of my video game friends. Everybody's telling me Uncharted 4. Brian McGinnis already beat it. Mike Brown, both comedians. Mike Brown already beat it. So I'm feeling like I should really just... I feel like getting this game, but part of me feels like playing the other three before I do it. So maybe I have to get the Uncharted collection as well as getting that and just really just kind of immerse myself in the story. And then there's these tutorials on YouTube that teach you how to do shit, these different dribbles and moves in 2K, and I want to learn those. So it's just like I'm getting really backed up on these video games, guys. I mean, it's just my life is getting so hectic and I'm not having time to play. I just need to take the time at some point and dedicate myself to playing some of these games. I do want to play Uncharted 4 and I want to do the whole story because I like Naughty Dog. After just experiencing The Last of Us, I just kind of want to immerse myself into that world and get through all of those games. And then when Tomb Raider comes out in the wintertime, in quarter four, in the fourth quarter, I'll be ready for that, and I'll be locked in, and they'll, you know, I'll have, like, I'll just binge on that game. But until then, like, I've just been kind of, thankfully haven't had time to just, like, binge on a video game. So that's good. Like, my career is progressing, you know, incrementally, so I'm happy about that. Speaking of the career, why don't I tell you about, I'm getting some positive reviews on my garlic shrimp. So far I have 21 likes on Facebook, and so people want the recipe, and it's this dude. Did I even say who it was from? It's from this guy called Chef Buck on YouTube. I don't think I did. I subscribed to him. He had a good nacho recipe that I didn't use. I ended up using another, like, Nacho Supreme recipe. But I just happened to, you know, go on YouTube on yesterday and saw that shrimp dish, and I was like, I gotta fucking try this. And you know, someone says, one of my buddies from undergrad says, does it taste as good as it looks? Comedian Aaron Jackson, friend of the podcast, should I come by now? Or, and then some lady that I don't know says, damn, why you never invite a sister over? Is it because I'm black? You know, it. So I'm getting these likes up on my. I've got some skills, you guys. I'm pretty amazing at this, you guys. No, I'm getting good at it. So, speaking of the career, like I was saying. Oh, and then I'm mad at the nerds. No one told me about this new game. I guess that's been this game called The Last Guardian on PlayStation 4, and it's been delayed a bunch of times. But if you go, just look up The Last Guardian trailer, or just say The Last Guardian PS4 and you on YouTube or something, it'll come up. It's like you play this peasant boy or something, this boy that's been captured. It would be better if I read. And then you have this, like, dog-like, cat-like, dragon-like, huge, massive character that helps you. And it's like a puzzle game, and it's kind of like a never-ending story type vibe to it. It looks fucking amazing. It's from the same people that made Shadow of the Colossus, which I never played, but it looks beautiful. It looks great, and it looks like it's like some really compelling stuff that might make me cry whenever I play the fucking thing. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. What is it with Facebook and these people going live? Like, I don't care that some of these people go live. Like, there's people that I love and respect. I don't care that you're going live, dude. Is there a way to cut some of that off? I don't know. It's just kind of, you get a note, so-and-so is live right now. And like, oh, I'm cooking breakfast. And it's like, I love you, dude, but there's some people where it's just like, I don't know, maybe just because they're having fun. And then when I'm looking at it, I'm at work. And I'm like, really, dude, you're playing Xbox? Is that what it is? So this is what your life is doing? It's where your life is going now? You're living the dream? Maybe that's just me being a douche. Talked about that, and I will give you some dates, and I'll get out of here. We've been going for a good how long? 54 minutes, a tight 54. So let me give you some dates. This week, I'm going to be at Paisano's in Rutherford, New Jersey, doing one of the Comedy Shop shows. I did one in Mount Arlington a couple months ago in March. That was a lot of fun, so I always like working with James DiBenedetto and Joe Conti. They're cool dudes, so I'm excited about that. And then Friday and Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be at the Comedy Club of Williamsburg in Williamsburg, Virginia. Friday show at 8 o'clock, Saturday show at 8 o'clock. It's going to be fun. It's a show where they have three comedians and we do a half an hour each, and it should be a good time. And I'm excited about that. And June 4th, I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club at 11 o'clock p.m. in the Vintage Lounge. June 18th, 10th Street Live, Kenilworth, New Jersey, at 9 o'clock p.m. I'll be at the Standing Room on June 24th, 8 o'clock p.m. and 10 o'clock p.m. for J.L. Covan's album taping. Get tickets for that shit. It's going to be epic. It's going to be a good time, man. So, and August 14th, headlining at the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland. So, little things coming up, and things are going good. Hope everything's going well with you guys, and I will talk to you next week. Peace.